Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our day, sorry we didn't have it up on your screen for you, is actually the epistle lesson, which you heard before. Very specifically, the last paragraph of that epistle lesson from Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was my text preaching right near Valentine's Day as well, which may account for the fact that I can't read that text without instantly the song popping into my mind. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Love. What a wonderful word. Everybody loves the word love. Of course, we don't all understand it too well. It is, after all, a vague concept. For several decades, every time a couple came to me wanting to be married, at our discussion sessions, I'd ask the question of them, well, why do you want to get married? Inevitably, the answer came back, well, we love one another, which gave the perfect opportunity. Oh, good. Tell me, what do you mean by love? Normally, there was quite a bit of silence, maybe a bit of stuttering, sometimes relatively glib answers, even such things as, well, she's so beautiful and gracious, and it's fun to be with. She makes me feel good. Oh, so it's all about you, not her, right? I don't think they liked me much. Sometimes the answers were a little more to the point, but maybe even more objectionable. Well, I think she needs me. And then usually followed something which wasn't exactly complimentary and ignited more than one fight. It was one time, a young man, actually Hispanic, marrying a Korean girl, responded with, I love her. That means I want her to be everything she can possibly be, and I want to try to do what I can to help her be that. And then I want her to be happy with what she is and happy to be with me. And what I said to you went out of it. Oh, I hope she shares that happiness, that joy, and everything she is with me too. Now that's getting to an answer about love. To want to help the other person, to want to be for them, to want to do for them. Now that is love, sweet love. And love is sweet. We need it. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. My test after study has indicated that even a little baby cannot develop properly unless there is that physical touch, that sign of acceptance, of belonging, of holding that they receive as love. Study after study has shown that if we do not have the concept that we are loved by somebody, something, somewhere, our life is barren, our mind is negative, our spirit is down, depression is upon us, usually sickness as well. People die for lack of a feeling of being loved by someone. Doesn't take much, does it, to apply that? That we don't know, if we have not understood, if we have not felt, if we do not live with that concept of the love of Christ, that love He so fully demonstrated and showed by His death for us. That love of God, who so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son for us. That if we don't have that concept, we don't really have peace in our hearts. We don't really have joy. An elderly member of my last congregation for years as he served as elder and trustee in the congregation would repeat his impressions as he had traveled the world as a businessman, saying, you know, wherever there are Christians, I see smiles. I see confidence. In the midst of all the problems, hardships, and troubles that hit them just as bad as everybody else in the countries. But where I do not see Christians, I see despair. And I believe it. Love. It's so sweet and it is so needed. On the other hand, it wasn't sweet at all. Not the love we're talking about. For you heard the words. God showed His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And no simple death. No clinical painless thing this. But a bloody death upon a cross. Not because He had to. But because He willed to do for you and for me. You see, that's the true heart of love. It is not something which is in response to what is there in that one you love. There's nothing in us. We are sinners. We have always been sinners. We continue to be sinners. Christian though we have become, child of God though we can claim to be, we are sinners who are saved only by the grace and mercy of God, who in His heart, in His being, in His very nature is love and has chosen to choose you and me to claim us as His own, to make it possible for us to be His own, to be children of God by suffering and dying for us so that He might bestow upon us His grace, His mercy, that He might receive us as sons and daughters of His kingdom, that He might place within us His Holy Spirit. Wow. That is love. That's the whole reason that we celebrate a Lenten season. To see the depth of the suffering, the trial, the effort, the work, the giving of God as He demonstrates, proves, pours out upon us, layers that love on us, slathers it, that we might know that we are His. At least that we might have that opportunity. Because that's maybe the greatest sinfulness of humanity and of every one of us. We need love, and we need God's love most of all, and yet we are really quite unwilling to receive that kind of absolute love. We're unwilling to let go of this thought that I can earn what I need and I deserve and I have a right. We're unwilling to basically put ourselves just out there to be poured upon. We want to be able to take, to grab, to choose, to decide, to utilize at will. And so we want to hold God and those people who would be willing to love us off a little, thereby hurting ourselves far more. But still doing it, we hard-hearted, obstinate, stubborn, stupid human beings. For that's one power that we have. I mean, love conquers all, we say, but love does not conquer refusal. We always have that ability of shutting mind and heart, rejecting the love of God, refusing to think, and just not letting it soak into us. We always have that ability, that devilish ability, to resist and refuse the Creator of all things, the Lord of heaven and earth, to stand against Him and conquer? Oh no, we're not conquering anything. But make all His work for us worthless by refusing to let it apply to us. I hate to say it, but I'm afraid that I, and I suspect every one of you, have done that at times, maybe more than a few times. That it is always a constant reoccurring possibility and danger. And that's why so much of the Bible, even during the times of Lent, not just Christmas when it is a main message, not just Epiphany when it is the message we are supposed to be pouring out there upon all the world around us, but even in Lent and throughout all the rest of the year, it is a major message of all of Scripture. God loves you. See what He has done for you? This is how God has shown it. This is what God's continuing to do. God loves you. Receive it and let your heart respond. For like that young Hispanic man, the one thing that love always wants, the one thing that love requires, demands, lives for, is that the one who is loved, the one who is helped to become all that they can be, as God helps you and me to become His own children, as God gives to you and to me citizenship in heaven, the guarantee of a place already prepared for us. That's what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. The God who has done all this for us and continues to work within us to bring it to completion in that day of our Lord Jesus Christ longs to have us share our joy in Him, our confidence in Him, and all that He has made us to share it with Him. And then, it's my joy to honor You, Lord, is our refrain. Is it? Is that what my life is? Is that what your life is day to day? Is it confidence that God loves you? And joy that He does, that can fuel your energy, your strength, your confidence, your brightness as you go into each day? Or is it laid aside for that day when maybe I'm a little low and need to lift? Is it laid aside maybe for when somebody asks me about it? Or when I walk back into the congregation again and sit there and hear the same message? Because you hear it again and again and again. Nothing I say is new. Nothing I say, if you've been in church often, you haven't heard often. Do we live it? Oh, I pray that we do. Because it remains true. What the world needs is love. And what you and I need is love. And we've got it. God has given it. He has poured it out upon us. He has made us His own. He calls you my son, my daughter, my child, my beloved. He prepares for us to be with Him, not for a while, but forever. And He shares with us all that He is, all that He has gained, all that He has a right to. And he asks us, now, share yourself with me. And may God strengthen you and keep you in that. May His Holy Spirit abide in you with power and speak in your hearts day by day.
Amen.